He said, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful. But in your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Listen to what he says. My wife didn't know she's going to be the center of message today. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour, pay attention to that word hour, is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. For joy that a man is born in the world, into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow. We have sorrow right now. But I will see you again. And your heart, pay attention to the heart there, shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, listen what Jesus said. And I pray you have felt this throughout this time of difficulty and uncertainty. That whatsoever ye shall ask the Father, he's got to be your Father, in my name, in Jesus' name, he will give it you. And lastly, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive. Listen what this last part says. That your joy may be full. Father, we thank you for your word. This is the word of God. And Father, we just pray that you would just bless your word. We pray this morning, Lord, that you would encourage our hearts, strengthen our hearts. God, we pray everyone who is watching this morning, God, that you would just bless them. God, that you would encourage them. Each one, not only this morning, but God, those who are maybe going to watch this worship this morning. God, I pray that you would speak to their hearts. I pray that he, the Holy Spirit, would visit them right where they are. God, and if they don't know you as a personal Savior, I pray on this day, God, that they will come to know you before it's everlasting too late. Pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that you would strengthen us and encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to say this morning, good morning to our Pembroke First family. And this is from the bottom of our heart that we miss everyone. Everyone that parts these doors, we miss them. And I am ready to assemble back in the house of God with the body of Christ. And I know this has been a long wait, but I do believe in the God that we serve. I know that God is more than able. I know this morning, this that I know, that he loves us. I know this morning that he died for our sins. And I know this morning that he is coming back for the church. I pray this morning that you believe in that, believe in the rapture. I pray that you believe and know that God is in control of all things. And when we know that, we can have some assurance. And I want you to stay encouraged, my brothers and sisters, stay encouraged. Because I believe what the scripture says, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. And I love it when the psalmist made up in his mind. I understand what I'm saying when I say this. He made up in his mind when he stated that this is a day that the Lord has made. He says, I will. That tells me he made up within himself. He said, I will rejoice and be glad in it. I know that we're stuck in our homes. I know we can't come in contact with individuals. Church is about hugging. Church is about shaking hands. And the Bible tells us to greet each other with a holy kiss. Now they're saying we can't even get 6 feet within somebody. But we can still find so much to rejoice in within this day. We're still on this side of the dirt. We're still able to worship God. We're still able to pray to God. And throughout all of this, all the fear and all the anxiety that takes place, nothing can touch our salvation. Nothing can take our joy as long as we keep our mind. The scripture says, fixed on him, he will keep our mind in perfect peace. It's important. I pray that you have made up in your mind this morning that you will be glad and that you will worship God on the Lord's Day, on this day. And I tell you this, church, which I hate this morning as we wake up in the morning time and we face so much. We're facing discouragement. We can't go to work. It's difficult for somebody who looks forward to going to work for them to tell you you can't go to work. But in the midst of all of that, in the midst of all that we're going through, the psalmist says, I've made up in my mind that I'm going to rejoice in this day because the Lord has made this day. And I would hate to know this morning that I had to suffer in this world, go through all this that the world has to offer, suffer afflictions of the flesh, and die without Jesus and go to hell. I would hate to know that this earth was my heaven. But to the Christians, this earth is your hell. And we're going to leave here and go to heaven. We're never going to see suffering. As much torment as a Christian is going to see, we're going to see it here. We're going to leave here and we're going to go to heaven. So thank God for the blood of Jesus, which saved us from our sins. And he is waiting for us. We have a better place for the saints of God. And thank God for Jesus this morning. Take a moment. I want you to do this. Thought about it last night. To take a moment and just type in, what do you call it, Brother Gary? Post in, thank God for Jesus. Because if the devil can't hear, maybe he can read. That this morning, we're thanking God for Jesus. No matter what's coming against us, no matter what's going on, we're still thanking God for Jesus. And with that being said, I want to look into this text just for a few moments. We're going to look into this text, and as this writing's taking place, and understand that Jesus is talking to his disciples here. He's walking along, and as many times they are confused concerning his conversations and the statements that he's making. Sometimes people will just drop little nuggets along and want you to figure them out, or drop little nuggets along and just want you to pay attention to what they're saying and what they're doing. But oftentimes, sometimes we just don't get what they're dropping, and we need them to explain it. So as Jesus is walking along, he had been telling these disciples for almost a year now, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to go away. Well, it was confusing because I know what Peter probably said and what John probably said and what James probably said. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. You can't get away from me. I'm going to follow you. I left my job. I was a fisherman. You told me to drop everything and you would make me a fisherman of men. I've dropped that. I've left my family. I've left the religion that I was practicing. I have been a part of. I've forsaken everything to follow you. And now you're telling me that you're going to go away. And where you are going that I can't go. And I won't see you for a little bit, but a little later that I am going to see you. A little confusing. So I could imagine as they are sitting there shaking their head. Like, I really don't understand what he's trying to tell me. I could imagine as they began to talk to one another. You can always tell when people don't agree with what you're saying. Or don't understand what you're saying. Because they began to talk with each other. He understood there was confusion that was going on. So he spoke to them. I love it when Jesus just speaks to us. And here's what I want you to know throughout this text. If we have already read this text. That our sorrow will turn to joy. I know some are really feeling sorrow right now. We're feeling the disappointment and the heartache. But it will. That it is going to happen. A directive from the Lord Jesus Christ, who commands everything. That he will. This sorrow will turn to joy. In this text, I want you to notice a couple things. I want you to notice our hearts. I want you to notice our hour. And I want you to notice our hope. As we look at this text, look at verse 19, and Jesus was speaking to them. And I'm so thankful for this because many times you may be right by yourself. You may be in the bed with your spouse, but they're asleep and they don't know what you're going through. But here's what I want to say, that Jesus already knows our heart. as Jesus is going through this discourse with his disciples, or speaking to his disciples and teaching his disciples the things that they needed to know for his departure, for him to go back to see the Father. I'm going back to see the Father. I'm getting ready to die. I'm getting ready to be crucified. You have to prepare yourself and get ready for this. Before they witness his crucifixion, before they watch him die on a cross, he addressed, I love this, he addressed their human emotions. It is very little to us at times, but Jesus understands the emotions of humans. Let me remind us that he was born of a virgin, but he grew in stature just like you and I did. Jesus took on human flesh, which allowed him to understand the emotions, the ups and the downs of human life. He understood the heartbreaks of our hearts. Here's how we know that Jesus understands. If you look in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, it says this, "For we have not a high priest," understand who our high priest is this morning, "which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." That meaning that right where Jesus is, right now a high priest made petitions for the people, went before God. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's our high priest. He's making petitions. He's pleading our case. He's our advocate with the Father. But at the same time, I'm so thankful with this, that he understands the feelings of our infirmities. He understands the heartache that we are going through. And it says this, "He was in all points tempted like we are, but yet without sin." Jesus understands what we're going through. I wanted to tell you this morning, he knows your heart. You say, "Well, he was the Son of God." That is true. But the Bible describes him too as the Son of Man. He was born, he was Mary's baby, but he was God's son. Jesus understands what it was like to walk up to the graveside of a loved one and weep. The Bible says when he walked up to the grave of Lazarus, that Jesus wept. We can make assumptions of why he wept. I understand that he went to this service and he seen the disappointment and the heartbreak of people, and the Bible says that the Son of God wept. I want to tell you this morning that no matter what's in your heart this morning, God knows our heart. He knows the heartbreak. He knows right now. Some will say, "Well, what about our disease?" Jesus knows what it was like to walk the dusty streets of Jerusalem and look at a leper that was an outcast and nobody wanted to touch him, and walk over and touch him and heal him. He understands the hurt of disease. He understands the hurt of sickness that is in a body. The Bible says that a woman had an issue of blood for 12 long years, and he touched them and he healed them. Jesus came. He could have been the Son of God. He could have been God right in heaven, but he came down here. He took on a robe of flesh. He clothed himself and he walked through life, that once he went back to the Father, he understands this morning that our heart is hurting. He understands this morning that we have sorrow. Here's another thing. I believe that Jesus understands. He understands our fears. He understands our anxieties. He went into a garden and he prayed. He prayed until his sweat became drops of blood. I believe this. He said, "Father, not for my will, but for your will to be done. If it's your will, I'm going to face this, but I really don't want to face this. In my flesh, I have a fear of that cross." I want to tell you what his fear was. His fear was that when he hung on the cross, that his disciples are going to be dispersed. They're going to stay back. They're going to have fear. His fear was that once he hung on that cross, he knew that his Father had to turn his back on him. That was his fear. He had fear. He suffered anxieties just like we did. I've never been in such agony that I prayed and my sweat become drops of blood. Now, I've suffered some heartaches in this world, I can tell you that, but I've never been to that point. So I'm just going to trust this morning that whatever my heart is going through, that Jesus knows exactly what my heart's going through. I want you to know this morning that as you're going through whatever you're going through, as we're watching the news and as we are in isolation, the devil loves for us to be in isolation. Remember, I say this all the time to our people at Pembroke First, that there is a battle for your mind. I want us to help this. No matter who you are, help us do this. In the midst of this, let's everybody try to get along. In the midst of this, let's everybody be encouraging to one another. In the midst of this, don't let anything come between us as the people of God, whether you come to this church or not, because all we're doing is adding to the anxieties that's already there. All we're doing is adding to the fears that are already there. Here's what I do know, that Jesus knows our heart. He's our high priest, but he can feel what we're feeling. He understands what we're feeling. Someone would say, well, how do you know that? I want you to know this morning that he knows your heart. And I know your question. I had the same question to myself. Well, why won't he fix it? Why won't he fix this? If something is bothering my children, I want to fix it. If there's fear in their heart, I want to do away with the fear. If there's anxieties, I want to remove those anxieties. But God knows more than I know. He knows what's best for us. I want you to know this. As Jesus gave us a perfect example this morning, not only does he know our heart, but he knows our hour. What do you mean by our hour? I want you to look in verse 21. And no better example could he use. As he looked in verse 21 and he began to give these disciples, which were all men, an example of a woman who is in pain and in sorrow as she is giving birth to a child. What an illustration Jesus used to address the hour of our sorrow. Maybe you can get a laugh where you are. I like for you to be here where I can hear you laugh. But my mother-in-law said, or somebody said, that a stone, what kind of stone do you call them? A kidney stone couldn't be worse than having a child. Well, once that woman had a kidney stone and had a child, she said the stone was worse. I've had a stone. So I know what you're probably saying. He can't talk about having babies because he never had a baby. Never will, never will. God created me not to have a baby. But I know the pain is real. So what do you mean? I have watched my boys be born, watched them in there, watched all that's going on. I watched the monitor as my wife's contractions were getting worse. I was standing there listening to her screaming in pain. I was standing there watching her cry in the bed and calling out and pushing and calling and saying, God, help me in this. I've seen the demonstration of what Jesus is talking about. And I want to tell you this morning that there, right where you are, there was nothing I could do. Right there in that bed, I wish I could, because she was hollering at me and fussing at me and saying things to me. I wish I could have said, hush. But I didn't. She was an animal, fussing at everyone. And I know the men you are seeing, that you are hearing this, every man is saying, Brother Chris keeps silent. Good job, Sister LaTanya. I know you're saying that. But in the midst of that, what do you do? Her hour has come. If you go all the way back to Genesis, Jesus predicted that this was going to happen. He said, because of sin, you shall have children and with pain. That is to be. Jesus said this. He told his disciples, he said, what should I pray for this hour? But this hour is for the reason that I came into the world. This world is going to offer us pain and sorrow right now, church, right now, this is our hour. This is what we're going through. This is what we have to go through. And this was a prediction of what Jesus was going to go through. We exist for this hour. Jesus was born into the world to be beaten of Roman soldiers, to be arrested. He's trying to prepare their minds for this. There's things in life, everything's not going to be hunky-dory. We're going to go through sorrow. Jesus, he prepared his disciples for his arrest. He prepared his disciples for him being beaten and bruised. He prepared his disciples to watch him carry a cross, hang on it, stand there, drop his head in the lock of his shoulders, and give up the ghost. They watched him do that, but Jesus said, this is the reason, this hour, this is my hour. I want to tell you, I don't know what you're going through. Jesus knows your heart, but this may be your hour, and whatever you're going through, he knows what you're going through. He knows this is our hour. I'm thankful this morning that right now where we are, Jesus knows exactly what we're going through. And I want to tell you this, the worst feeling for a pastor is to show up to a church with empty pews. It breaks your heart. Early in this week, I was just sitting home and just thinking about everybody, and my heart just felt so heavy. Called Brother Carr and talked to Brother Carr and Miss Jane. Heart just felt so heavy. The saints of God not being able to get to the house of God. Just heavy, just broken. And my thoughts was to this, God, I just want this to go away where we can get back to church, where we can get back to doing what you would have us to do. But this is our hour. And I don't know how long we're going to have to go through this hour. But not only are we not able to come to church and do what we're doing, there's a lesson. There's something God's trying to teach us in our hour. Maybe it's when we come back to church that we leave all craziness out of church and that we come and worship God. I don't know what he's trying to teach us in the midst of this. That's an individual conversation that you have to have with God. But this is our hour that we have come for. Not only can we not gather with our people, we can't even visit our people. We can't even go to their homes and check on them. Never experienced this before. But I want to tell you this, that our hour is going to come to an end. Our hour, the time is going to change. As after my boys were born, I watched that doctor, and she was going crazy, and what you've been in there. After my boys were born, I watched that doctor take that baby, that little boy, put it up on her chest, and all of a sudden she's smiling and laughing and crying, and I'm just saying, what just happened? What in the world just happened? You were just acting like a raging wolf, and now you're acting like a little lamb. What just happened? The hour was over. That time was over. That span was over. And here's what Jesus said. If you look at this particular passage, that when the hour is over, you're not going to remember the anguish anymore, because what he's trying to do in our life is going to be greater than what we're going through right now. When that little boy came out and he laid him up there, and I was just confused, like, what in the world just happened? She's done everything but cuss everybody out in this room, and all of a sudden the happiness and the joy of someone coming into this room. I'm just looking forward. Here's what Jesus says, but as soon as the child is delivered, as soon, and I'll promise you, here's what they said during the hour. During that hour, here's all I heard. Push and breathe. Push and breathe. I want to tell you, church, push and breathe. We're going to get through this hour. We're going to get through this hour. Just push and breathe. Joy. Here's what the psalmist said. Joy, weeping endures for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Isn't that just amazing? Push and breathe. We're going to get through this. I wouldn't have ever used that example of Jesus, wouldn't I? Listen to this. A lack of hope is the ultimate agony. We have hope this morning. I want to relieve your agony. This hour's going to be over. We have hope. Our hope is this, that at the moment this hour's over, at the moment this baby, whatever God's trying to give birth in your life, and whatever God's trying to give birth in your local church, whenever the birth of it takes place, joy is going to be there. Hope is there. It's going to end. The day's going to come. The labor's going to be over. The pushing's going to be over. The pain's going to be over. That's what he's trying to tell his disciples. And here's the hope. Here's the hope. As much as they've seen him suffer, as much as he was beaten, as much as he was bruised, he said, you just come on the third day morning. There's your hope. You're going to be able to see an empty tomb. I'm going to do exactly what I'm telling you to do. The birth is coming. I promise you the birth is coming. Say, well, how can you promise something that you can't control? Exactly right. I just read the book of the man who controls all things. And when he says that weeping may endure for the night, but joy is going to come in the morning, I'm just going to believe that. I'm going to believe what the book says. I can't explain it all, but I believe it all. So this morning, as we come to the Lord, and some have, I'm pretty sure, have been weeping. How do I know that some has been weeping? I've seen some statistics. I was supposed to read some of those statistics and they slipped behind me. I can't even get them out. There they are. Yesterday I seen a poll on the American Psychiatric Association that surveyed over 1,000 people. How do I know that weeping is enduring for tonight? And they said 48% are anxious about getting sick. They're worried about getting sick, and we are. We have hand sanitizer here. And how many people's in here? 5, 6, 7 people in here, because we're trying not to get sick. We're going to use common sense, and we're going to trust that God's going to take care of it. 40% is anxious about seriously getting ill. We don't want to get sick. They're anxious about that. But I want you to hear this. 36% have serious effects of mental illness. A lot of mental illness going on right now. Everything starts in the mind. There's a battle for your mind. But here's what Jesus said. Read that text just down just a little bit further. And he said, whatever you ask in my name, he said the Father would give it to you. If you pray according to God's will, he said that he would give it to you. And here's the reason he's going to give it, that your joy may be full. Our sorrow is going to turn to joy. You keep praying to the Father, and you pray according to God's will, and I promise you, God's will is going to take place. And when you see this whole, when the birth of this child has happened, whatever it is, whatever it's going to look like, when the birth of this child happens, and we get back to the house of God, worship's going to take place. You're going to experience joy. The anticipation of the baby coming just continues to promote us towards the hope that it's going to come out. Keep pushing, keep breathing, take deep breaths, and before you know it, deliverance is there. Hope is on the way. I want to tell you that this morning. This is a promise from Jesus that hope is on the way. And I pray this morning, if you're suffering this morning with any of these mental illnesses, I want to tell you this just may be our hour. I want to tell you to stay encouraged. I want to tell you to stay strengthened through the word of God. We're going to try. I'm going to tell you how the devil works. He's a sly, cunning rascal, but he's a liar, and he's not going to outwork us. He's going to quit before we quit, because greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. Last night, I tried to communicate with our people, and our app wouldn't work. Lord, I just went in a panic. Our app doesn't work. I can't send a message out. Can't encourage nobody tonight. Lord's day's tomorrow, and we can't talk to God's people. Never would work. I deleted the app, tried to do everything to make it happen. Wouldn't work. Had to go to bed knowing that. Woke up this morning and it was fine. I want to tell you this. If we just give it to him, have a peace of mind that he's going to take care of everything. I promise you, it may be our hour, But joy is going to come. Joy is going to come. I pray as we have this prayer, whatever's in your heart, if you're feeling anxieties, if you're feeling some depression in you, as we all do, promise you, been there, promise you, had the anxiety, ready to get out, ready to go. I have a 2-year-old home that I don't leave, huh? It's real. But I want to encourage you this morning that we have hope, that joy is coming in the morning. God bless you. We love you. Father, we just thank you for this day. God, we thank you for your ability to know our heart this morning. The scripture teaches us that you search the heart. And God, you know what's deep inside of our heart. And I thank you this morning that you understand our emotions. I thank you this morning that you understand the ups and downs of life and how we get discouraged. God, how we allow Satan to get us down. I know this morning, God, you understand how relentless the enemy is against the people of God. You said he is as a roaring lion, and he's seeking whom he may devour. I pray this morning for my brothers and sisters in Christ. God, I pray that we can see the end. God, I pray that we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I pray this morning that we would stay encouraged through the word of God, through the saints of God, just checking on us, just encouraging one another, just strengthening one another. God, this is going to be over. And the only thing we're going to have left when it's over that's going to be in glory is what we've done to help other people during this time. So I pray today, Lord, if there's one that's listening to us this morning that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, that doesn't understand this joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, I pray that you touch their heart. Pray this morning, God, that you convict them and draw them into yourself. Because this morning I am so thankful. I'd hate to know this morning that I had to go through what this world is going through without Jesus. But I'm so glad to know that I am going through it with you, that you're leading us through it. Thank you for this opportunity to bring the word of God to our people. And I pray that they are encouraged. God bless you. And amen. Enjoy this song as we're closing out.